Hello and welcome to Island Extras. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, and I am delighted to be here with a local Boys Make Good Plus story. That story is about the movie Lolo, which is in at least West Coast distribution right now and had a special screening here on Vashon Island at the generous Vashon Theater Saturday, September 7th. I want to welcome all you folks one at a time. Writer-director Nick Ritchie. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your seventh visit to Vashon Island.
My seventh visit approximately to Vashon Island.
And Allie Ritchie, star of the show. Welcome, Allie.
Thank you so much for having us.
Your second visit to Vashon Island?
Yes, second time. Love it here.
Okay. Yeah, so do the rest of us. And Mark Sayre, the executive producer and a native Vashonian. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
And Zach Mann, who is also a native Vashonian and one of the producers of the show. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you.
It was Zach who alerted me to this wonderful movie and to the opportunity that the Vashon Theater has given you. So let's start with, what's the story about, writer?
The story is about four low-income high school girls on their last day of summer together, and they are grappling with sex, drugs, and violence as they are getting ready to say goodbye to each other. And so they are sort of finding the true love that they have amongst best friends and finding the strength that they need as young adults to move on into the next phase of their lives.
What was the stimulus for that story?
It is loosely based on my life and my experiences growing up in a low-income neighborhood in Vancouver, Washington, and wanting to represent the young women that I grew up with that I feel like are underrepresented in film and television.
Interesting that you chose young women and not young men.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of explaining this over the past couple of weeks through Q&As that I think as some men don't get a chance a lot of times to express their feminine voice. And I identify very strongly with mine and wanted an opportunity to voice that through the characters of this movie. So I never saw it as four boys, despite a lot of people's best efforts to get me to switch the sex of the characters.
Allie Ritchie, as one of the stars of the film, did Nick succeed in creating feminine voices authentically?
Absolutely. I think the beautiful thing about this story is it's a very genuine, honest story that as us actors, who the cast is primarily feminine, and he just he gave us this beautiful piece of work to work with.
How much did he allow you to ad lib or to kind of fumble through?
We were thinking about that the other day. I feel like overall, it was all the script. I think he did give us the opportunity, especially when all four of us girls are together and we're having fun together. We got to just kind of ad lib through that and kind of improv amongst each other. But almost all of it is his word.
Yeah, there was a little bit of flow where I did say to them, hey, if something doesn't feel honest, change the words. Just tell me you're going to change the words, you know, so I'm prepared for it. But yeah, if something doesn't feel genuine, so there is this kind of blend, especially in the moments where it's the four lead actresses together, mm-hmm. where we all kind of forgot, even like, wait, was this scripted mm-hmm. or was this part ad-libbed?
Interesting.
They did a wonderful job.
So Allie, did you develop some genuine friendships among the four of you?
Oh, yes. We had a very not big budget for this movie, so we didn't have the funding to have any rehearsals before we started filming, which is a almost kind of daunting thing at first because we're supposed to be playing best friends
yeah.
and sisters almost. And I think we met up for drinks one time before we started filming, and then we're supposed to, you know, show up on set and be as close as ever. And I think I'm really blessed to have a cast that we mesh so well together. They are like family to me now, and amazing actresses.
Mark Sayre, as executive producer, what was the budget?
What was the budget?
We can't talk about that.
We're not supposed to say, but it was, you know, it was under $1 million, which in independent filmmaking is pretty small.
It's a pittance.
And that means and requires a lot of sacrifices, you know, particularly on the creative side, because you're not able to have the luxury, you know, to just throw money at things that you want to see on film. However, you know, sometimes those challenges can produce better material, in my opinion, because it forces you to be very creative about what the solutions are. And I think that Nick did a really wonderful job with that, as well as all the talent, Allie and the rest of the gang.
So where did your money come from?
We pulled from a couple domestic resources in Los Angeles. This is definitely one of those passion projects. You know, once Nick knew what he wanted to do and, you know, got involved with Zach and kind of made the rounds with our friend group in Los Angeles to pull together, you know, all of the manpower we needed to make it happen on a budget that, you know, might not normally be able to afford everybody that we had.
Yeah.
One of the thoughts too was, we want to make a movie, but we have no money. So what do we need to spend money on?
A garage.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's like, what are the only things we need to spend money on and go that route, as opposed to here's a budget that's super lofty and has all of these bells and whistles. And how do we raise that much money? It was really the opposite. It was, we have zero. What do we need to spend money on? We need this. We need this. And then we built it almost in reverse, which is not really the best way to do it. But for us, with all of our resources that we have, we could put together a film without having to do it the other way.
So generally in business, people create a budget and then they go out to raise the money, which is what you did. But what you're saying is that in filmmaking, people start with money and then whatever they want.
It's a complicated answer, because, you know, at the outset of deciding to make a movie, you have the script. Many times we'll know we need to play in a specific budget arena. So that sometimes means, you know, shoving stuff to fit into a budget, mm-hmm. or going back to somebody like Nick and saying, hey, if we're going to make this at this dollar amount, you know, you can't have parachutes and guys, you know, jumping out of buildings.
We had to cut the parachute scenes.
Yeah, all the parachute scenes are gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of push and pull there. However, you know, we will do a deconstruction of the script. That will then turn into a schedule for the film, which is really a complicated math problem,
yeah,
of figuring out what scenes to shoot on what days and how we can shoot actors out in consecutive days. Though that schedule then produces a variety of reports, which is everything from day out of days that tells us what actors work on what days, what props work on what days, where, you know, where we're shooting on what days. That information is then used to be able to create the budget, because we need to know all of those specifics. And we'll usually do a pass where we're not necessarily thinking about budget in mind. And that will kind of give us what the negative cost actually is of making the movie. Then we, you know, kind of trim away at it and strip away at it if we need to. If it's something that we don't feel makes sense in terms of market value, or we just know this isn't going to be something we can finance at that budget level.
So it's kind of like setting up a corporation and moving a military installation at the same time.
100%.
Yeah. And yeah. One of the things that we had to sacrifice were the amount of days we could shoot. Because every day you're on set costs money. Obviously, you're paying people's time, you're right. paying for meals, you're paying all sorts of things. And we were a union shoot, so there's lots of expenses that you just can't get away from. And so that's one thing that's interesting for Allie and Nick to talk about, was how to be creative that way, where you only have so many days and you're shooting so many pages. I mean, 2 6-day weeks and then 2 days. So you're talking about 2 days off over the course of 14 days of shooting.
Wow.
So 2 days off in 16 days is wild.
So Zach, tell those who might not know about film making what sort of expenses we wouldn't think about. What are the things that you have to pull together that those of us who've never made a film can't imagine?
Well, one of the biggest ones is you have to have bathrooms for everybody. Huh? So if you're not shooting at a practical location that has toilets, or you have permission to use those restrooms, you have to bring bathrooms. You have to have changing and dressing rooms for all the actors. You have to have food, of course, to feed everybody. Those are all expenses. You have to have drivers to drive certain vehicles, and they're paid a certain union rate, and you can't get away from that. So Mark or I can't go and drive a car with a bunch of gear in it. It has to be done by certain individuals.
Wow.
So there's all these things that add up very, very fast when you're making a movie for very little money. Because remember, multiply whatever that cost for that one day by 14. because those are the days you are working. So it can add up really quickly, and that's just, you know, eating and pooping.
Yeah. Things we all do every day and don't think about in movie making. That's true. That's right. You know, rarely do you see people on screen pooping, sometimes eating. Yeah. But
that's the next movie, Nick.
I'm working on that script.
Yeah. Underrepresented.
Yeah. What was the location?
It was all shot in LA, although the location of the film is Vancouver.
That was an unfortunate, you know, it's not unfortunate, it's just a reality for us. I wrote the script to take place in Vancouver, Washington, where I grew up, and I wanted to, again, sort of pay tribute to this town that I grew up in, but we did not have the budget to fly our crew and cast up to Vancouver and house them, so we did our best to find locations that were sort of location vague, you know, but apartment buildings that reminded me of the apartment buildings that I grew up in, and occasionally a palm tree snuck into the background. So you're just going to have to pretend that a Vancouverite just planted a palm tree.
Yeah, it was a Hawaii transplant in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Hopefully the action on the screen will distract folks from
the
continuity.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So Allie, Zach mentioned the pressure that, or maybe it was Mark who mentioned the pressure that's on the creative process in such a short shooting schedule. How did you deal with that?
Yes, it is definitely a wake-up call. I think when the first day of set, the very first scene, we're kind of shooting this huge moment for my character. I mean, really for the movie, it's this very important scene. And it's with one of the other actresses. It's playing my best friend. And again, we're showing up at 6 a.m. We barely know each other, and we go right into this very emotional scene. And I just remember thinking it went by so quick. We only had a couple shots, really. Like, you gave us a wide, a close-up, and you're like, that was it. And I remember getting at the end of it and being like, I don't know if I got it. I mean, we just eventually had to, I mean, we didn't have an option. You had to show up prepared and ready to do your scene. There wasn't a time to mess around or try and get there. I think we had to trust in Nick as our director to know where to trust that we got it.
I do think we talk about this. There's this kind of legend of Clint Eastwood as a director in the industry, right? Is this guy who's like, hey, he's like a one take wonder, right? He gives these actors one take and they nail it and they move on, and that's why he does movies for what he does, you know, budgetarily. I think there's something else to add to that, and it's this, that when you know as an actor or a producer or anyone, the cinematographer, that you're only getting a few takes, when you know there's limited resources, you're going for the home run on the first take. You know, there's no warm up. When you're on a set where you know you're getting 50 takes, those first couple takes you're burning, you're trying a few things. When you know the stakes are high, when you're on the edge of the knife, you are like, okay, I'm on the tightrope now. I can't fall. You know,
yeah, there's no other option.
Yeah. Allie didn't drop a line the whole movie. None of the actresses did. There was no, oh, I forgot my lines. Because they just knew. They were ready. They were ready to perform the first take. You know,
that's admirable.
Thank you.
To remember to, you must have been rehearsing on your own or perhaps together with the other women off camera. And
oh, yeah. You were not shooting. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that when it was time to go, we were just ready.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was lucky enough, obviously, I think getting to collaborate with Nick and build the script into what it was. I did have months beforehand of creating this character and making it what she was, so that when we were ready to film, I felt prepared.
You knew who you were.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
One thing that's interesting mathematically, and to understand how challenging it is on such a short shoot, how many shoot days were there? I should know.
14.
This. 14. Yeah. So typically, you don't want to shoot more than 5 pages a day. It starts to get too difficult to put in what is, you know, should be an 8-hour day. They wind up being 12-hour days usually.
Oh, sure.
But if you're shooting 5 pages a day, that would, you know, for a standard script at 90 pages, that's at least 18 days. Usually, if we had the luxury, we would be shooting 23 to 25 days. That would give us more time to play and, you know, feel like we got to cover the scenes from all the angles we would like to and take the adequate amount of takes. Yeah. So 14 days is pretty remarkable to do what you did.
We had a couple days that were 10 and 10 back to back during the, you know, where we had the most extras and we shot 10 pages a day for 2 days in a row. And it was, and we were in Malibu during like the high wind season in the winter. And,
you know, it was pretty, yeah, you can't control stressful. The weather. let me ask you this, because I you hear stories of a great script that took 10 years to get made. Zach, when did you get the script from Nick? So what's the start to finish, and how long after that was the film ready to go?
Well, I want Nick to kind of take this
okay.
question, but I just want to say though that Nick and I have been trying to make movies ever since he moved to LA, and ever since I moved to LA, and we actually were able to work on Perfect Sport here on Vashon with yeah. Mark Sayer and Anthony O'Brien. And Nick and I both were like, hey, we're here in LA and we're not making movies. We need to make a movie. So Nick was very adamant about writing a script that he knew he could direct as his directorial debut, that he knew that we could create and do. And that was the precipice in some ways of kind of this process of making this project come alive.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, this was, I think, an anomaly as far as a project goes. The script came together really quickly for me in my head. The first draft is very close to what the final draft ended up being. So let's say approximately 6 to 8 months to write the script into its final form. And then I went to Zach and said, hey, I'm shooting this, whether I've got $10,000 or $1 million, I'm shooting this movie. And then I went to Mark and said, hey, Mark, will you help me? Will you help me make a budget? And Mark jumped on board, and there was a couple other producers, Trevor, Ruth and Phoenix, and Zach Blinder.
When did that start?
So that started in, basically I'm thinking
it was correctly. Late summer.
Remember? It was late summer of 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. Late summer. And then we were getting ready to shoot
in January.
So we were casting right before Thanksgiving. So imagine we're casting Thanksgiving of 2017, and then we're supposed to shoot January 7th, I think, was day one of 2018. So my casting director goes, you know, I had peanuts to pay this guy, and he's a wonderful, wonderful casting director, Jeremy Gordon. Please don't pay him peanuts if anyone's listening to this and ends up using him. That's not what I'm advocating for. He's a wonderful guy. He basically said, yeah, here's what's going to happen. You've got to have this movie cast before Thanksgiving, because the way things work in LA is no one comes back to work after Thanksgiving.
Everything shuts down.
Yeah,
right.
Shuts down for a month and a half.
Right.
So yeah, we finished the casting, and then basically it was just the producing team behind the scenes for the next month. And then we started shooting January of 2018. We were wrapped before, I mean, again, we only shot for 14 days, so we were wrapped in January. And then, go ahead.
So here we are in September of 2019, and the movie premiered when?
Technically, it premiered at the Valentine's Real Day? Independent Film Festival.
The Hollywood.
So that would have been February of this year,
February.
I believe.
It was Valentine's
Day.
So
yeah.
It's essentially a 2-year process, and that's pretty quick.
That's quick.
Yes.
By movie standards.
By movie standards.
So we're running out of time. I want to know what happens now and what happens next with the movie. Where is it? Where is it going to be?
So as an independent film, we sold the domestic rights to Gravitas Ventures. And we decided to give them everything except for theatrical, because we knew we did want to kind of coordinate our own small limited theatrical run to coincide with the release of the film by Gravitas. So the film hit theaters in our premiere was August 15th at the Arclight, official premiere. The next day, it started playing at the Downtown Independent in Los Angeles for a week, and then New York the next week after that. And a few days after the premiere on August 20th, I want to say, it's available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, Fandango Now, pretty much everywhere your favorite platforms that you could rent or purchase the film, it's available on now.
And the title of the film is, everybody together?
Lolo.
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 Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for making this film. And we're so delighted to have you here on Vashon Island. You've been listening to Island Extras. Thank you for doing so. I'm Susan McCabe, your host.